Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
Look like?
Do I? Of course.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So they send.
Come on.
Okay, so they send Bubbles into a shop. They send Bubbles into a shopping mall to hide in the freezer for when it closes, yeah. So they can steal a bunch of meat. Yeah. Okay.
That's what we're doing. Right now.
And they. I know exactly. So they put them in the. We should be recording this. Okay. So
I,
they,
I am recording.
So they.
I'm
they,
always recording.
So they,
our
they put them in the freezer, and then they realize that the store doesn't close at 6. It closes at 9. Yeah. So they're on walkie-talkies, and he's like, Bubbles, there's a bit of a problem here. You're going to have to be there in a little bit longer than we thought. And he's like, how much longer, Ricky? And he's like, I don't know, like 20 minutes? Don't worry about it. And he's like, no store closes at 6:20.
Look, I'm just saying, math is not our strong suit. I look at pixels all day. This guy looks at cardboard.
Yeah.
When you ask us when the ban restricted announcement is, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. All I know is every time I think it's at 11, it gets leaked early 15 minutes. And I don't know. Maybe it won't. Who knows? I think it's at 11.
We're playing it safe anyways. We're playing it safe. And if we have to, we always have the DeLorean.
Yeah, well, if it's a really long intro to the ban restriction, we're sorry, folks, okay? Look, this is part one of an epic multiple-part attempt. We have listened to feedback. We are attempting to give you live reaction to thing, and to do that, it requires us to record at bizarre times, and so this is what we're doing. We are ETA 30 minutes. From a potentially 11 a.m. ban and restricted unannouncement or announcement. Unannouncement? Can you unannounce something? That's a good question.
All right, welcome to Hype Club, everybody. I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm Awesome Sauce, as always. That's not even my Twitter handle. It's Awesome Sauce MTG. But anyway, I got called another name a couple days ago. It was really, really awesome.
Was it like, a pre-release?
Really, No. I was like really impressive on a client call, and then they were like, wow, that's so awesome. And then they end the call like, thanks, Kevin. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, my God. Funny story about
that's
Kevin.
That's sweet.
So,
all right, Kevin.
When I was growing up and I was like an early teenager, so I have four older brothers, one blood brother and three stepbrothers. And when I lived with my blood brother, he was 4 years older than me, so he was like 18. I was 14. He was 20. Right. I was 16 type thing. But he was cool enough to like hang out with me and my friends because we were like kind of cool and we all like played Magic together. But he had one friend, and this friend's name was Dave. And Dave was really cool. And his name wasn't actually Dave. It was Rock and Roll Dave. And you called him Rock and Roll Dave. And that's
Rock
just,
and Roll Dave.
That's
all
it.
Right.
It was just Rock and Roll Dave. So
I like it.
Rock and Roll Dave, for some reason, and I don't know where he got this from, he thought my name was Kevin. And it never really came up, so no one ever really, like, noticed, or, like, in passing, we were at, like, a party, and Dave would tell a story about Kevin, and people would be like, oh, whatever, like, who's Kevin, whatever. But Dave and I became really good friends, but when you're, like, really good friends with someone, like, you don't really, like, use their name a lot, right?
No, it's
you just, like, hang out with them, dude. And, like, dude, yeah. Or, like, hold my beer, or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, pretty much.
So this went on for about, like, 2 years. That he knew me as Kevin, and like about a year into it, my brother kind of picked up on it and just like went along with it, and just started calling me Kevin because that's what older brothers do. So I ostensibly became Kevin for a couple of years, and the funny part is, I was Kevin during the time when I started LARPing, live action role playing.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So I exactly.
Nim.
I know. It's super sweet. So now I'm already Kevin.
Nobody knows who I am.
Right? It's so great. And I'm doing this with my best friend Eric, and it's actually funny this whole story comes up because I just did pre-release with Eric yesterday.
Oh, sweet.
So shout out to him. So Eric and I go to Nero, that's the LARP that I go to, and I need a name, and I was like, well, Kevin's like a lame medieval warrior name. That's stupid. How about Kevek? I'll just spell it like forwards and backwards, you know?
All right.
So I became Kevek.
Okay,
and
I, like
I played that character for like 3 years, became a squire, had like a final death that was like obliterated by floating death's head with glowing eyes and some crazy forest ritual. It was really sweet, man.
Interesting.
And
interesting.
To tie that all together, that's how Jake got hired at the cafe, was they came in for their interview and they said, so I know you play Nero and I know your character and I'm like following in his footsteps. So, we should work together.
You can follow.
I'm
get in the kitchen.
You are hired. So, kind of a crazy small little world there.
So, folks, that's the debut episode of LARP Hype. It's a secondary cast we do about LARPing and being hype while LARPing.
Yep.
I've actually learned a lot about LARPing. I had a conversation with a bunch of people yesterday at the pre-release, or 2 days ago. About LARPing, it's fascinating. I can't believe it. That it's like full on combat. You have to remember like 25 XP points times thing as I'm chopping you. But if I hit you in the back, it's an extra 60. I don't know how you do that. Again, math not gonna work. I can hit you really fast with sticks, but I don't think I could calculate. Did I kill you? But anyways, let's move on, folks, because we are gonna start to speculate. Because Lord knows that's what we do best. We got
wildly speculate. You always miss the wildly part. We're to wildly speculate.
Why do we wildly, dude?
Wildly speculate. Yeah,
sorry, I forgot the advert. So we got a banner restriction announcement coming soon. We're gonna react to this live. Let's talk about a few things as this is coming up.
Well, this could be potentially the most important BNR restricted update of our era.
No, let me correct that. No, this is the most important banner restrictor announcement ever. I know that's going to shock people. Hot take. Okay, Affinity was destroying them. Okay, well, maybe it's the second, because that was pretty bad.
Yeah, but that was like necessary, right? That like couldn't have not happened. There should be potentially no changes here.
That would be the fool. If there are no changes, that's the disaster scenario. That's the Rudy greed monster just fail. It all goes to shit because there's so much happening right now that playing Amonkhet at the pre-release, the set is actually very good. Like, I was impressed. It was very hard brewing my sealed deck. There was a lot of different ways to go. Even though my packs were pretty boring, you opened pretty bad.
Hot garbage.
Yeah. But you know what? I think you should have sticked it out, man. There were synergies there we just did not see. I know.
Well, I did find out after how to build a much better type of pool in the format, and it totally makes sense. So
yeah, and I'm looking at that pool, and I opened it, and I was playing it, and I was trying to think, you know, in between rounds, I'm like, how do we brew for Standard? How do we brew for Frontier? Like, what are we playing with here? And really, it comes down to Standard and the bookends of Shaheeli and Gideon. They are limiting everything. Like, you just can't play cards. There's just so few things you can like that are viable if this is what's going to happen. If there's no ban restriction announcements, this is bad. This is just going to cause, in my opinion, most people who have those decks built to be like, okay, I guess I'm playing, or I'm like, I'm bored of this format, and they don't play anyways, and they have the cards. But everyone else is going to be like, all right, I'm just taking a break, and I'll see you in the next one. So I feel like that is just the worst thing that could happen. I understand. I really do. I sympathize that people lost some money when they banned cards. But here's something to think about. Wizards originally wanted to have a shorter Standard thing. And I'm not even talking about they designed the sets and this is the reason why. And we'll get to, you know, they'll eventually get to a point where Standard is designed back to this. I don't think that's true. I think what we really need, and I know this sucks, we need to have a faster Standard rotation. I think this would make Standard more exciting. I think it was done for the right reasons and we overreacted wrongly. I feel like having this long, like having cards so long in Standard, it just really inhibits brewing and it inhibits a lot of things. I think people just didn't give it enough time to allow Masterpieces to lower the prices. And I think you could have had a faster rotating Standard with more changes, more exciting brewing environment. And yes, you have to buy a new deck 6 months earlier than you would. But if the cards are 30% cheaper, it kind of balances out.
I totally agree with that. And I think people should be, you know, wanting to buy decks 6 months earlier. And people should be excited about the new set that's coming out. And there should always be a reason to be pressing forward and progressing your collection and finding new synergies for Frontier and Modern and even Legacy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally agree with you that we didn't give it enough chance to have a shorter standard rotation, and I think the shorter standard rotation would be much healthier. And
right, when, could you imagine? Like think about this. Think about this. Right now, if we were on that old schedule, we would have a 100% fresh standard. There would be no. I guess it would be what Aetherworks Marvel and Smuggler's Copter.
Okay. Sahili combo. Right,
but I mean, wouldn't have had Gideon.
Yeah, we wouldn't have Lily and Emrakul. Well, we don't have Emrakul, but like that Delirium whole strategy, we wouldn't have Traverse decks.
Yep, and I mean, Traverse is a great card. Look, the more I play with that card, the more I see that card. I really regret not buying that card from Modern.
I know it's really good. Let's look at it from the other perspective, though. Like, would you be happy to be done with Delirium already, or would you feel like you got a little jipped if that's... Yeah, exactly, you know?
Well, that's the other side of the coin. I don't have the answer to that because, yeah, sometimes it does take a bit of time to get to the evolution of what Standard is, right? So you never really fully explore. I'll say this, though. I played Standard and Modern, all these, like... I've been played for a long time. I brewed all these formats. Go back, man. How many sets have we been in where two or three of the mechanics, like, just... They weren't even... It's not that they were limited mechanics. They just never evolved. And I feel like that happens a lot. So, well,
you know,
it just doesn't work out.
You know, it goes hand in hand with faster standard rotation. The Frontier format. Because that gives a home for these newer cards to mingle and for you to explore with them without feeling the time crunch of like the pro tour and the grind and your PPTQs and all of your events and things like that.
Or the power level of Modern. I really feel like if they really wanted to make everything successful, they'd say, here you go. We're putting Standard back to faster rotation and we're going to create the Frontier format. And then that solves literally everything because now you have a very wide range for dollar value to look at cards. You're like, I like this card, but it's $10. Does it play in a Frontier deck I want? Yes, it does. Okay, you know what? I'm fine spending $10 on this card because I know it's not dead in, 12 months or whatever it is for Standard. So I really, like, we've brewed all our decks in the last 2 years now, well, maybe a year. And we're always thinking like first Frontier, then Standard, then Modern. And I think we've had great success choosing cards and decks that survive all of them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even all the way back to like Green Machine. The cards
Green
that we
Machine's
picked,
just a good deck.
The cards that we picked for that deck, they didn't stand out as like number one cards in the format or tier one cards, but they were all super accessible. They were all powerful in their own right, you know. We were playing Dungrove Elder, Thrun the Last Troll, Stranglerootgeist, Rancor. Like, all of these are very, very good cards.
And they're all casual, fun cards.
Right.
Like, I think we really need to look forward as Magic. If you want Magic to be around 20 years, I think Magic needs to start to grow beyond one format. You know, we've said this a million times, but I hope today we just see them be like, look, Gideon should have been banned in the rotation anyway. So I feel like banning old Gideon doesn't hurt anyone. And it at least throws a bone, okay? Like, if all they did was that, it's not what I want, but I'd be like, okay, at least they did that. To me, that's fine. New Gideon is very interesting. There's a lot of things you can do with it. Holy cow, the packs of negation and the Titan pack, they're all spiking like crazy for Modern. Apparently, there's all kinds of crazy ways now. You trip Gideon, and now you just got basically free counterspells. You got free pack of, like, you can do a lot. And if they, you know, they don't kill Titan or they don't kill your Gideon, it's like, okay, so there's a bit of tension there. That's some fun thing. But at least get rid of Gideon. Let's start fresh. Let's see some new builds. Shaheely or the cat, I know.
Okay, what would you want to see go out of one of them? And why?
I am 100%, okay, I know I'm on the minority. Talked to a lot of people at the pre-release about this. I'm on the minority. I want Shaheely Ray gone. The reason why I want that card gone is because there isn't much to do with it. The cat can play in a million decks. The cat, like, there's so many decks and so many synergies, and I know they built the cat in mind with this. I think it's a very fun card to play with in Standard. I think it's very interesting, and it enables a lot of interesting Blink Brew effects.
Okay, counterpoint.
Do not ban that card. So, okay, well, hold on, I'm going to finish. I understand Shahidi is what? $10, $15? Okay, I understand that. We're going to ban Gideon and Shahidi. It's going to look bad from a financial standpoint. I understand that. It's going to, in hindsight, if they do it, holy cow, they just banned two money mythics again. It is going to be confidence shattering. I understand it. It is, though, in the long run, better for Standard. I think local game shops are going to do better in a month, rather if you just ban the cat and nothing else. Go. Hot take it.
Okay. The people that I talk to want to see the cat gone because it was admittedly by Wizards the mistake. You know, the card that was
the
probably...
The cat was the mistake?
Yeah, okay. The cat was probably supposed to say blink target creature or artifact or something. And
the
then they're like, that's not good enough. That's not interesting. Just make it permanent so you can hit all the oaths and enchantments and that'll be cool.
Yes.
And then someone's like, yeah, that's cool. And they're like, oh, wait, it hits Saheeli. Oops, mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how
you,
that
but,
happens, right? So
but
what
but
I want to see... Okay. I agree with you, as I personally want to see Saheeli banned because I think there's more interesting play space with the cat.
Yep.
So, but that's not my argument. I'm going to argue the other side here.
Sure.
The cat was the mistake. The cat was the card that was, you know, changed is not working as intended originally.
The cat needed was one errata.
Yes, and... I just don't think
and
errata.
Too bad
I don't. I just don't. Let me. I just don't think erratas are actually a viable option, especially in a standard legal tournament set where you're going to have where you're going to have a pro tour and you're going to be trying to introduce new players to your game. So
yeah,
I just don't think.
Right.
I just don't think an errata works, which really sucks.
I'm going to have to interrupt. We got our ban announcement.
All right.
Here we go. All right. April 24th, 2017, ban restricted announcement. Standard, no changes.
Okay.
Modern, no changes. Legacy?
Top.
Holy balls.
What is it?
Top.
Oh, man.
Banned. Top is banned in Legacy?
I just guessed that, too.
Vintage,
oh, wow.
Probe is restricted, and Gush is restricted. Woo! Holy ball. Okay, this is insane. So, disaster scenario. They did not ban anything in Standard. I think that is the 100% wrong move. Just they screwed up. That is silly. Modern, I don't think anything was going to be banned. Legacy, woo, they pulled it out. Top banned. That's awesome. That is going to piss off a lot of Legacy players. But, dude, I think that's good. Vintage, I have little to say about it because I don't really know enough about it. Does that do anything? Probably. Yeah, I mean, obviously Probe was probably just in too many decks, and they were like, okay, look, let's just stop with the Phyrexian mana. You want to talk about mistakes?
Yeah.
Phyrexian mana.
Yeah.
Mistake. Phyrexian mana should have cost 4 life. Actually, I don't even think... Many people have argued this if it cost 4 life instead of 2, and I'm like, who cares? The card... People using those cards are like,
it
could
matter.
Cost 19 life.
Yeah.
As long as I don't die, right? Like,
yeah, it
who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Wow. Okay, so let's read into this, because we don't read.
Yep.
Because we're going to get yelled at in part 2 of this episode. We don't read enough, so let's read. With Pro Tour Amonkhet on the horizon, R&D met earlier this month to discuss multiple formats, including Standard. In Legacy, Miracles, a deck that is focused on combining counterbalance and top to control what opponents can do or mostly cannot resolve. Has been the best deck in the format for some time. Yes, we've known that for a long time, and we're hopeful that this change would... We were hopeful that this would change over time, but it hasn't. I think really the legacy of relying too much on letting the metagame work itself out, you can clearly see when a strategy is overpowered.
Correct.
You can clearly see. I think that what they... You hope that people hate it out significantly, but many times, like with Standard, there isn't the answers. If you don't have answers, people can't hate. So, interesting. Let's get on with this. The necessity of repeated top activations to play the card slows down matches. Bingo. And it leads to tournament delays. Also, it's boring to watch. Coupled with the power of Miracles decks, it's gone. So, I totally agree with that. I think this one has been a long time coming. Right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Top has felt miserable. And Grumpy Programmer, he plays lands, and even he, like, there's a lot of people that are like, look, man. I don't want to play top. I'll play anything else. I'll play your janky combo deck. I want to play Tahoe.
All right, well, let me read the modern paragraph.
We're skipping right over vintage, folks.
Well, do you want to? Do you care?
No, I do not.
All right, cool. They're banning Probe and Vintage because it's too powerful. All right, good talk. Sure.
Free spells, in quotes, was the...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, cool. So in modern, Death Shadow continues to be the best deck, but technology like Condemn is starting to emerge, and the format appears to be in a safe spot at the moment. While deck diversity is good, we're keeping an eye on color balance. If there's an easy change to the banned list that could open up more decks in the future, we will examine it when other formats have less pressing needs.
Are we going to, like, theorize about that sentence? Because that sounds like Jason Ban.
I know you were going to say that. Yeah,
that last sentence right there.
So as long as blue continues to suck, you'll get Jace.
Dude, I'm telling you right there. While deck diversity is good, we're keeping an eye on color balance. I'll tell you right now, hottest fetch land is the black-green.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, this is interesting because we jammed, what, 5-10 games? I'm playing basically Death Shadow Jund.
Yeah.
I was playing that. So I can attest... that, you know, Tony's new Brew Frontier deck beat me.
It's a pretty good deck.
I mean, I beat you too. I mean, it was when you went off, it's hard to beat Emrakul, you know, with that deck. If it goes off, I just can't win, right? So I race and sometimes I close you out if you don't hit. But if you hit, it's hit. So I feel like I've never said Death Shadow Jund or any of the Death Shadow variants needs to be banned. I think it's just fine. I think there's a lot of answers for it. Right?
All right. Well, I'll read the standard one.
All right, hit me with the dirty sauce.
In Standard, as we stated in the last Banner Restricted announcement, we are still watching the format closely, particularly the interaction between Felidar Guardian and Saheeli Ray, as well as the dominance of Mardu decks featuring Heart of Kirin. We have not seen the movement in the format we had hoped for with the Grand Prix in the latter half of the season, but we still believe we need to gather more data, particularly with an eye toward the effect of Amonkhet on the Pro Tour.
So they're all their eggs are on the pros.
Yeah.
I bet they're probably paying pros to be like, look, we don't want to... The cost damage to the format and our brand is too high to ban, but we'll pay you like 20 grand on the side to brew a deck that doesn't come. That's a prediction. Hot take and controversial.
Hey, they are all sponsored by teams now, right?
Interesting. I want to see what is it, Magic Puzzle Quest?
Yeah.
Some of these like Magic associated brands, what brew do they bring? What are they forcing? Let's see. Keep going.
All right. Amonkhet has a number of exciting and powerful cards, both proactive and reactive, and too much can change with the introduction of a new set. We don't want to ban something that might ultimately not have been a problem, or worse, create a potentially worse problem due to lack of information. We need to let the players loose on this format and hope that things turn out well. An outcome we believe is possible. However, if that does not happen, we will reevaluate the situation in a few weeks after the Pro Tour.
So, you know, right, the perfect...
Play nice, kids, or we're taking your toys away.
Yeah, well, not even play nice. It's like...
Pull this damn bus over right now, and this precious field trip fire. Pretty damn quick.
Literally take us out of the fire, because we're dying. I'm disappointed. I understand why, and I could feel it from a brand standpoint. I could imagine they're like, it's not about the game mechanics. A lawyer or a marketing person sitting in front of them, and they're asking the question, how much is the brand damage? And they're like, it's massive. Like, the hit of confidence would be massive. And they're like, okay. So they've evaluated that they would rather leave it stale than take the hit.
Double ban, right? Like ban long-term more than pain. Four cards.
Long-term pain, man. For less, you know, short pain, high impact, but they're going for the lower pain longer. I mean, we're going to have to see what's possible.
So
I don't know what is, though, man.
So
maybe
here's
we're just not brewing hard enough.
Here's something that's kind of ironic. They had just fixed the whole Sensei's Divining Top Wear Tear issue with the new
Yeah, I know. They
cards.
Actually did nerf it, yeah.
Right? And then they're like, actually, no.
I think, though, that if you're playing top, right, you're looking at it and you're like, okay, well, Wear Tear, I'll replace that with something else.
Well, Wear Tear actually, not the World Legacy podcast, so I won't get into it, but Wear Tear is actually better at a 3 because when you're trying to countertop everything... You don't have many threes, and you only have, like, Monastery Mentor if you're playing it, Vendilion Click if you're playing it, and Entreat the Angels. Okay. So it actually being a 3 was, like, kind of okay. It was, like, wasn't bad. It just wasn't busted against Burn anymore.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the fact that it was a one or a two whenever you needed it to be was not fair.
I like how they highlight the card Condemn in this article.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really weird card. Like, yeah, it's been what, a third tier removal spell I've seen on and off in Modern.
Now it kills one Death Shadow and then kills the other.
Yeah, because it takes your life total high. I mean, sure. I mean, if you're running Condemn, wow, like, dude, right? You better have a plan. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a two of in the board for when you need that match. I'm not sure. I just think they're going to strip it out of your hand anyway. So
yeah,
they don't play Death Shadow on turn one or two. Really, they're going to like strip your hand, take your answer, and then they're going to play it. So sure, you top deck your Condemn, you got me. But like you top deck Path to Exile, you got it.
Yeah,
like,
Fatal Push, whatever. You got me. You know,
yeah,
like...
Fatal Push and Path are just too good. I used to be a fan of all these like super little niche things, and
it's... you sure were.
Oh, dude, I still am hold things. All right, well let's look at the positive, because you know we highlighted the negative. I think this is going to put a lot of pressure on the pros. This is up to them right now to show us what they got. We both played Amonkhet. We've both been thinking about brewing Standard specifically. What do we got? I know there's a zombie deck. I just don't know if the zombie deck can have a tool that beats Mardu and Shaheli.
Honestly,
do you think so?
Honestly, there was nothing that stood out other than the always watching and
the control
exert, right? Like always watching and exert cards being like.
It's
any
good.
Sort
it's
of new powerful strategy. So I'm actually pretty interested to see how the Pro Tour is going to go. A lot of people that I talked to going to the Pro Tour from the shop this weekend were, this is not a good outcome for them.
No,
they were not looking forward to just testing Mardu versus Saheeli and then having maybe one person that they bring with them spend the entire time brewing play Mardu or Saheeli.
You know, the thing that I find very interesting is, you know, everyone wrote off green-black counters because it's like, all right, well, you know, negative 1/1 counters are going to, you know, there'll be decks in it, we'll be ruin it. I don't know, man. Snake? I think Snake is still good because I don't see what you're playing. Like, the demon is good. There's a demon in Amonkhet that, like, I got him in the pre-release. Really powerful card. Every time I cycle or I discard, I believe, team minus one.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's a great card, but...
And it cycles.
Yeah, it's good. I'm just saying, like, okay, against Shaheeli, what is it doing again? Not much, right?
Well, against Shaheeli, like, what happens is you have one in play, and then they can't combo. Because as soon as they combo, you just cycle something.
Yeah. But doesn't...
Then they have a bunch of O3s for the turn.
Sure, but then they can keep blinking, right?
No, because, well, they can't attack you, right? So what they do is they make infinite guys. They make infinite guys, and then they go to attack you, and you cycle a card, and then you take zero damage. And then next turn they make infinite guys, and you cycle a card.
Sure, I still feel like that's not a hard enough lock for it, but it's interesting. I think it's cool.
There's some really awesome interactions with this set to stop this Healy combo. You know the 4-mana green guy that cycles for a desert?
Yes.
Okay, so that guy can get the desert that pings for one damage. So now you have an uncounterable way to draw a card and cycle and ping Saheeli for once. There's two new ways to instant speed interact with Saheeli, right? Also, Manglehorn. That's the 3-mana 2/2 that when it comes into play, it disenchants, destroys an artifact or enchantment, and while it's in play, artifacts enter your opponent's battlefield tapped. That's another answer to Saheeli. There's three answers to Saheeli combo.
Yeah, and it's green. And here's the weird thing. That card is actually very good against Mardu vehicles.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to kind of salvage my...
But does that just jam in four-color Saheeli and like...
Does it? Yeah, well...
Because then like you just shock theirs and kill them, right? But then you should stop Mardu vehicles on turn three?
Yeah, that... Actually, I feel like Mardu vehicles got the weakest. I mean, but now we got... It has cut. It can play cut now and... That's good.
I personally really like Cut to Ribbons. Like, I've been playing it. Yeah. Oh, man, I played a game last night, and my opponent's at 17 and attacked for 16, and I had three mana left, so then I used Ribbons for one. It was the best ever.
So I was playing, me and Tony were playing, so we were playing some Frontier games, and he's got this, like, Reanimator deck, and he's got Ribbons in the Graveyard, and I'm playing, like, Thundercats, okay? And I have everything. I have everything I need. I got the cat, I can go off. And I'm like, to go off, I have to shock myself down to a level that he can Ribbons me. Because I can't go off right away, because I got to play, and I'm like, this sucks. This sucks. I can't do anything. That card's good.
Yeah, Ribbons is legit.
You nailed it. That card definitely puts a very dangerous threat that's just sitting there, and you have to really pay attention to your life total. Because one mistake, and you know, you're down a point or two, and they've got lethal next turn. Very interesting.
Oh, it's so good. Like, you can get... if you just get, like, a... If you just have Ribbons plus, like, a shock, you know, just, like, 6 or 7 damage out of nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's the thing we should talk about. There are some decks that are being brewed. There's Green Red Gods, which looks very powerful. So Hazoret and Snakey
Boy, Rohanas.
Rohanas. They're a very good clock. Wow, they can really close things down. And there's a lot of things like you can play that enable them quickly and they can close. My worry is that Shaheely can just throw a bunch of chumpers, and that's not good. And Mardu vehicles, they're going to race you anyways. So really that comes down to card draw. It's like what you draw and do you get the right answers. They still have access to Unlicensed Disintegration. So, I mean, they can still kill you. They can't kill your gods. So I guess that's like the new, like the biggest, like, what's the biggest clock, like, we can present? It's probably Green Red Gods, right?
I think so. I mean, right. It's definitely going to be sort of the... Maybe it's Naya, right? Maybe you have Always Watching as well.
Could be mine.
And then you're, gods, and then you have Glorybringer at 5 or whatever, so...
Yeah, I like that. I feel like Authority of the Countess is going to be a card that you're going to want to be aware of. It just is going to buy you time. It's going to shut things down. It stops a lot of the haste shenanigans.
Okay, so here's a card I want you to tell me about, Maddie. Tell me some of your thoughts on Nissa, because she's like, you know.
Again, Nissa is hard as hell to understand. That card looks like, I have to evaluate it. I know this is going to seem weird. I'm going to start with Cube, because when I find very bizarre cards that I say, like, would I play this in a cube? Yes, 100%. Like, I would jam that in blue-green. Like, this is a great card. I just think that it's value, it's an engine, it's going to keep you going. It has an actual win con eventually. Like, I like this a lot. I love that it scales. If I go down, I can't really talk about Vintage or Legacy. If in Modern, I feel this card is possibly too slow. I don't know. Maybe it's... Maybe. I don't know. I think that there's just too much, like, Lightning Bolt, Redirect, Dead. I don't think this card is Modern playable. Do I think it's Frontier playable? Yes. Oh, yes, it is. There's some interesting playability there. Standard playable, again. Maybe if you're like... I've heard of the Sisters deck, where we're running Chandra, Nissa, and Nahiri. This sounds like a fun deck to me already. So if there's like a Planeswalker deck, I'm going to play it, because Oath of Nissa is great. So I think that's cool. I just don't know, like... Do you have time? That's the real answer, right? Do I have time to fool around?
Yeah, the thing that I really like about Nissa is that she has a few, like, secret abilities in, like, a blue-red control deck where you would want to play Rug. Like, Scry 2 is actually quite strong. She's fairly easy to cast in, like, a Blood Moon or, like, a Blue Moon deck. And you can, interestingly enough, use Muddle the Mixture to transmute into her.
Oh, that's good.
So, like, that's where she's kind of, like, most interesting to me is she doesn't really, like, seem like a tempo card per se, but the Scry 2 is, it feels, like, very tempo-y. Like, it's kind of hard to evaluate, but I think having a Planeswalker that you can play on turn 3 underneath counter spells, or you can top deck to just smash for 10, it just has, like, a wide range of actual uses, as well as Scry 2 being, like, considerably more powerful than Scry 1. Like, when you Scry 1 with Saheeli and you do a damage, when we first looked at that card and we first evaluated it, we're like, Scry 1 I feel like we sort of over-evaluated how good Scry was. And Scry 1 is, like, okay. But Scry 2 lets you rearrange the top two cards of your library or just ship them both away. Right? Or keep one. So Scry 2 is considerably better than Scry 1. And Saheeli gets work done, you know? Like, she finds the cards you need. She keeps... When someone goes Scry 1, keep it on top, like... It affects your play pattern, right? You need to start respecting their possible best draws and things like that. And Scry 2 is just going to be even more powerful. So I really, really like this card in like a control shell as like a finisher. And hey, it's blue. It pitches to force.
Right? Like, it's good. Now let's talk quick, because we only have a little short window here in our part one.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Because we did a live reaction to the ban and restricted announcements, let's follow up with our live reaction to the Amon Khet invocations. Because I held a Force of Will invocation in my hand at the pre-release. A kid next to me opened it, and I love it. He was like, I opened it, and he's like, what do you think I could get? He was like, just so excited, right? And we were talking. I'm like, I don't know. I think you can get like whatever you want, man. Like, you're gonna probably get a couple $300 maybe, right?
Yep.
And he's like, and you know what he said? And I pat him on the back. He's like, I'm keeping it. And I'm like, good for you.
Right.
I'm like, good for you. He's like, I'm gonna keep it because this is awesome. I'm like, that's great.
So a very funny flip side of that is there's a couple.
He sold it 10 minutes.
No. There's a couple who come to the store for all of our pre-releases all the time, and they come for the Thursday sealed and they play draft. And on Friday night, they open a Cryptic Command. On Saturday, they open a Vindicate. And on Sunday, they open a Force of Will.
What?
I'm not kidding you. Dude. She turns around, she looks at me, she's like, we have.
Are you spiking?
She's like, we have $602 in store credit after we paid for all five of our pre-releases for both of us. That's like $900 in store credit over like just opening and like playing and cracking your packs and just selling your stuff. So yeah, some kids want to keep it, and that's super sweet. And some people are like bankrolled for the next three pre-releases.
Oh yeah, I mean, I understand why you would do that,
but that means the lottery tickets like are working, right?
I'm still personally on the fence. I read Saffron Olive's article about, you know, the financial value of Amon Khet and like what invocations have done. And he really is like, if you look at the general trend of the impact they're making, it's less and less and less. Yes, I understand this one particularly, you could put an asterisk next to it because of the ugliness of the frame. But still, the trend is just straight down. So it's just going to get more and more less impactful. So when they do it again, I like we talked about it, they're very close to having no gas in the tank. They're just out of gas.
Yeah, they're just revving too high, you know?
Flying too close to the sun. Yeah, I mean, it's just too much. I think it's too much. I think 20, 30 invocations is crazy. I think you could have done five. You don't need to put... I think they're just... throwing crap at the wall and hoping it sticks, or maybe they're scared that they've set the bar high, and they're obviously, if you had a set with five invocations and people are like, this sucks, it's gonna, but I think the general thing is you're just gonna run out of gas. Like, I don't want to see the set in a year when they're like, well, we did Cryptic Command again, or we did Force of Will again. I mean, like, well, okay, like, guys, like, I don't know.
Yep. Well, hopefully in 5 years we're getting Fatal Pushes and...
Oh, like that is gross. In my mouth, I want to barf. Like that, you just said that. That's,
why?
Because that's crazy. That's crazy. If like, why is that crazy? Like that. Because they're the very acknowledgement that you burn through the entire equity of the game so fast, and
I don't think it's burning through the entire equity of the game so fast. I think it's that they're still continuing to print cards that deserve to be masterpieces. It's just not right now.
I guess I'm not the person who is very excited about building an all masterpiece deck.
I am. I did it.
okay. So there are people that are crazy.
But I wouldn't do it out of invocations, not only because A, they don't lend to a whole deck the same way that the masterpieces did, and B, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to go back to the appearance really quickly. I held the Force of Will in my hands.
Oh, the power.
Yeah. And it's an expensive card. I'll be honest, I've held proxies from the proxy guy that I've was more careful. Like, not that I would wreck his car, but like that felt like I was in the presence of a very important thing. I got none of that. I just got that it's a cool, goofy card, and oh, by the way, it's $300. And I'm like, what? Like, so like the disconnect. The physical look of the card, I feel, is interesting still. It's polarizing. You can like it, you can hate it.
Yeah.
What I really don't like about the card is the art is glossed. So,
but nothing else is.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like they just put zero thought into the, like, when you look at a foil, especially the really good ones, that like someone has made a really good foil mask where the eyes are glowing, like where they put a little detail into where the highlights come through, those look fantastic. And when you see a bad foil where it's just all foiled, there's nothing. It just, yeah, it's shiny, but that's it. It's not sparkly. It doesn't have that depth. And I feel like the invocations, they're just through this gloss foil effect over it. And in my opinion, it looks like a sticker was put on the card.
Yeah,
it doesn't
weird,
feel
right?
integrated. The gold though on the card is great.
Yeah,
like the actual,
the bolus horns, the border,
yeah,
the filigree.
I think it's
like
actually metallic. Yeah, I think it's actually in a metallic coating. That looks fantastic. So maybe they should have experimented a little more. I have no problem with all the people that have said, "Hey, we want Wizards to push it and experiment." That's cool. I'm fine with that. I'm just, this one wasn't for me. So hopefully next time, we see what happens. Now let's talk quickly, Amonkhet. Or not Amonkhet, because we're out of this right now. Quickly, we're going to talk to Kelly in our next segment. He's coming on. We're going to talk. He's going to yell at us, apparently, about how bad we are.
No, we really screwed up the announcements for Nationals, yeah, so he's going to come and do it proper.
Yeah, we made a mistake. But I wanted to talk about what is the next Master Set? Iconic
Masters.
Okay. We're going to talk to Kelly about this because he has his theories, but I need to get something off my chest because this is just too, it's too crazy. You made a set called Iconic Masters. There better be something iconic in it. I'm just saying. Shivan Dragon is not iconic. Yes, it is a card we remember playing with. Again, it is not a card if I open that I'm like, wow, I paid $10 to open a Shivan Dragon. I don't care what art is on it. I don't care if it's triple foiling, see-through glass. I don't know.
What if
I
it's a Shivan Dragon invocation?
Again, I don't care because it's garbage. Like, that is not exciting.
But what about cards that are cube playable for people who don't have the proxy
better.
Guy built in?
It's
you know?
Better. It's better. Yeah, like I've said, look, they can do Dark Ritual. They could do Lightning Bolt. Those are great cards. I have Encounter Spell. Like, cards that, like, are the cards that you remember, sure. My opinion, and I'm trying to communicate this, is like, look, you're charging me $10 a pack. So you're setting the bar that this is the premium. This is the value. So you can't just put giant gross in it. I don't care. So I hate that Magic has become this. And if you really wanted an Iconic Master set where it's old art, old border, all old school, Singear Vampires, like the really, like literally reprint Alpha Beta. You know, like go back and do that.
That would just awesome. Be the collector's editions again, which is what I want.
Well, I would prefer like take a new approach on it, but do something neat with it. But you charge $3.99 a pack. That's not a premium pack.
Yeah.
That's just going back. If you put Dual Lands and Power 9 in it, then okay. But they're not going to do that. They've clearly stated they won't do that. I believe that it's time the Dual Lands, only the Dual Lands, need to be removed because those are, in my opinion, the clearest, cleanest, most efficient card design ever made. It's the perfect mana card. It is. And the fact that we can't play with that in everything in any standard set is sad because it's just perfect. It's like Lightning Bolt. That card is perfect. It is overpowered in some standards, but I feel like Dual Lands are just the thing that should represent the game. I would pull those off and put those as whatever you want. The most rarest rare we have.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Kelly's theory
they
of
won't
the
do it.
Masterpiece, right?
I mean, I can't see them doing it. I watched a video on Rudy, even though people hate Rudy. I don't know why. He's very funny. But he made a really interesting point. And he's like, look, if my Black Lotus goes from $5,000 to $500 because they've reprinted it, I'm not selling it. So I just keep it in my collection. So actually, even though the market says, hey, it's worth $500, there isn't any to buy at $500 because no one will sell them.
Yep.
So they're actually not worth $500.
Yep.
So I've said this, and when comic books and all kinds of art, the first editions, the very, like, the first stuff, Alpha, Beta, even Unlimited to some extent, they're not going to drop in price. No one will sell them then. So even if they did reprint everything, I believe, look at Liliana the Veil. It didn't drop in price. That's what would happen the first time they did it. And if they reprinted it every set, eventually it's going to get to them. But if they just did it once, like Iconic Masters, we're putting really crazy stuff in there. Yeah, I'm going to open a, imagine a black bordered foil underground set. It's $1,000. It's probably straight up $1,000.
Yeah, like, easy, like it's gonna easy start, game.
Right. So, okay. And that's a really, that for $10 a pack to open that is really exciting. That is the an antithesis of a lottery card, in my opinion, but whatever.
For sure.
Is that going to drop the price of a single dual land? No, I don't think it would at all. Not close. Not close. Now, if you put the dual lands at rare in a standard set, yes, then I could see some impact. But alpha beta stuff is in, they're all graded. They're sitting in collector's cases. They're art now. They're not cards to play with. Even though, Rockus, you're crazy as hell for busting that damn thing and putting it in your, whatever. There are people that will bust art and play with them. But those people, hey, I play would
with
never
my old
sell.
School deck.
Yeah, you're crazy too. You're nuts, man. I just feel like, look, for the last year, we've all talked about, like, reprints, well, not the last year, the last long while, about reprints. And now we're getting them in spades. And I feel like there is a certain point which you have to reevaluate and say, okay, are we doing this to be exciting? What were our goals, right? Was the goal to lower the price, to be exciting, to sell standard? What is the goal here? Because if you have the wrong goal, I feel you're just, you're taking equity from one hand and using it to, it's like you're taking equity out of the past to pay for the future.
Yeah.
Or the present. And I feel like that eventually will catch up with you.
I mean,
good or bad is up to you. Right?
Yep.
Like, here's another question. And I know many people have said the day this happened is even worse than reprinting the reserve list. And that is when they make a tri-dual land with no benefits or no drawbacks. When Wizard says, we are going to crank the power dial past the reserve list. And that eventually is another tool they have to use. It solves everyone's problem. All the reserveless stuff is still art. It's still worth a lot of money. But now, if you want to play with powerful stuff, there's this new option. Right?
What about a tri-dual land that enters the battlefield tap but is all three types?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you want one that's three lands that just is untapped and is perfect, right?
No. I think that's retarded. That is, like, obviously too powerful. I think, like, what you all you really need is, even if you removed, here's a question, is if we remove the land types and it was a tri-land that entered straight up.
Yeah.
But I can't fetch it. I don't think that's that powerful.
Yeah, okay.
Is it? I think it's good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that
powerful. I can see that.
To me, it feels like a commander card. I mean, it would be really good in standard, obviously. But I feel like that's interesting. Once you put the land types on it, ooh.
Yeah, I know. Now, that's when it gets crazy.
Here's an interesting idea. What if you put one land type? So let's say it's a volcano. Or let's say it's an island, okay? But it taps for black and red as well.
I can see that too.
That just feels too powerful. But it feels interesting. Because then it's very narrow with what you fetch with. But it does, like, maybe it's a pain land for the two extra colors. Like,
well, that card actually exists.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
That you can fetch with a land type?
Yeah, Murmuring Bosk.
It doesn't have a land type.
Look it up, brah.
Okay, brah. Does it really? Okay, yeah. Well, there you
Murmuring
go.
Murmuring Bosk here.
I didn't think that was true.
It is a forest, and it taps for green. Okay. And it enters the battlefield, you can reveal a tree folk, and if you don't, it enters tapped. And it taps for black or white and does a damage to you.
Well, there you go.
So that is most definitely an incomplete cycle, that if they just took off the tribal sub-theme to it, it's exactly what you're talking about, right?
The tribal theme kills it. The tribal theme just locks that in.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But that's what you're talking about.
All right, well, let's end the segment real quick with what... Looking at standard right now, we have the complete picture.
What's going
right?
to win the Pro Tour?
Looking at Almanquet. I don't know if we know what's going to win the Pro Tour, but we could go there too.
It's four colors, like, Healy. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Are we betting dinner, Maddie?
Are we betting dinner? Well, I mean, this will be a Vegas payoff.
That's true.
Yeah, that's some power. I feel like, look, I already said the Mardu vehicles is going to change. if we had a band, right? Actually, what was my bet? Did I say that it won't win the Pro Tour, or that it won't even exist in its current form? I can't remember if I tacked on bannings with that or not. But I feel like that deck, there's a lot of different ways. I feel like it splinters now into a few other ways to build it. So, I don't know. Looking at like Amonkhet right now, what are cards that stand out besides, like, you know, the red and green god? Like, that have shots at doing stuff.
Yeah, like...
Let's just go through,
like,
real quick.
The Gideon card, maybe as Gideon. Foretold, probably not.
Liliana, actually?
Oh,
that's Tony,
my bae, yo.
I think that card's real good.
I told you.
Yeah, but I thought it would be a little slow. But I think it's so grindy and so gross. Like, when stuff's in the graveyard and you're like, come on, man, 5 mana tap, ugh. And you know it. It's just gross.
Like so, when you and I were playing, there were turns where I would just play like Ishkana, and then that would just gum up the board.
Oh yeah.
And then on any turn,
let me tell you,
it would just be like Ishkana
is foul.
Yeah, it would just be like creature. Lily into Dark Dwellers to cast Pulse of Murasa to bring back a Noxious Gearhulk and gain 6 life.
Oh,
and you're like, I can't play.
I
want to
throw up, man. Like, okay. I want to throw up in my mouth.
Right?
Like, it's just gross, dude.
and then you have a Planeswalker.
Yeah, and then I'm pulling out all the stops to deal with the Noxious Gearhulk. I'm like, I have to, like, 3-1 myself to get rid of it. And then it's like, well, Ulamog's.
Yeah, I'll just cast Emrakul. Like,
well, okay, fine. Like, I can only fight so much. I look at a few cards here that are interesting. Liliana's one that I think is really cool. I still feel that Kefnet, the blue god, if you built a really heavy white-blue control deck, like, so your plan against Saheeli is control it.
Well, like an Ashfortold deck, where you can then just cast your Saheeli and Guardians for free.
Yeah. I don't know what... If you're playing that Ashfortold deck, how many counterspells and what CMCs you're balancing out at?
Because
you need...
You just play whatever, because every single turn the game goes on, you just unlock more and more of your deck.
Sure, but you need to know... Okay, so why I say that is you need to understand. Turn 3, you drop it. Turn 4, they can't go off. But turn 5, maybe with ramp, they can. So that's where you're trying to balance.
But
like,
you get to cast the free
spells
plus use your mana.
Yeah, I know.
So you can
all,
once you have an Ashfortold in play and it's ticked around one turn cycle, now you have Shock for free that they have to play around.
Or Magma Spray, but I think Shock's better.
No, Magma Spray doesn't hit Saheeli.
I know, but Magma Spray hits a Scrappy Scrounger. So.
Yeah, no, like, don't get me wrong, Magma Spray is good. But if I was playing four colors Saheeli and my opponent had an Ashfortold with one on play, I would have to assume that they have a removal spell that turn, and then the next turn I have to assume they have the same removal spell plus another one.
Yeah. The other thing we should really keep in mind is Eldritch Evolution is still out there. That's an interesting card. A lot of, like, we could fetch up that lizard that gets a desert. I don't know if that's, like, relevant. We can't do it at instant speed, but there's a lot of interesting stuff that card does.
Well, the card that's actually, I think, going to make the biggest impact on Standard is going to be the Naya Lord.
That card's crazy.
She's beautiful. She is a glorious, gorgeous creature. I had Dragonlord Kolaghan in my deck to give my other creatures haste.
Mm-hmm.
She is just so much better.
Oh, yeah. That card is real good. That card dropped. Strangely, I don't know why. That's a card I have my eye on as well. If there's a Naya aggressive build, that's going to be in there. Remember, we still also Tom Ross is out there, folks. There's white humans out there. I feel like I'm not sure what card was holding that down, but Radiant Flames, I guess, is still in the format.
Well, we
I don't
even
really
we
see
even,
it that much.
We saw Tom Ross play like a red white always watching build on one of the Star City Versus videos. So. That might even just be like one of the actual contenders, you know. You play not the true Art Duelist, but the 3/1 that exerts on turn 2, and then on turn 3 you play Always Watching, you get to bash with like your build your own Baneslayer Angel. You know, you have a 5/5 vigilant lifelink creature. I mean, it only blocks as a 4/2, but attacking as a 5/5 lifelinker is pretty sweet.
Yeah. And 100% I'm playing Glorybringer in that.
Hell yeah.
Dragon.
Hell yeah.
Right? I'm probably even going to try to run Hazoret, the red god.
The other thing you might want, too, is the insult to injury.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? Insult to injury is... Okay, I had Walking Ballista. That was my pet card from that set.
That's because it's the best card
Insult
in that
injury
set.
Is my pet card. Yeah. Insult to injury is my pet card from this set, because that card is crazy. I still... Oh, here's another one I was just realizing. Scred Red and Modern.
Yo.
Oh, do you want Scred Red to deal 10 damage?
Oh, yo.
I just said that.
Yeah.
Do you want your Scred to deal 10 damage? That is no joke.
Scred can do 20 with that easily.
Yeah. Scred can also Boros Reckoner?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. That is a card. I really wanted to try to get foils, but I can't get foils of it yet. But that's the one I want. Because that card feels like it's got stupid gas. There's just so much
it's
that it can
be
do.
It's going to be so good. Oh, man.
I don't know. It probably won't be, but I don't care. I'm going to try because I feel like there's ways to kill quickly. Even in Standard, I think there's a lot of ways. Maybe there's a Jund build where we run a counter deck with that.
Right?
I don't know. You probably need a crap ton of mana. But imagine if you're running a counter deck. You get your Green Gear Hulk. You fling it with that. That's insta-kill.
Oh, man.
That's just dead.
Yep.
Oh, my 8-8 is flinging at you for 16. I'm pretty sure you're dead.
Oh, man.
So those are cards that I think are interesting. Zombies is everybody seems to be on this build. I think it's being tweaked right now. Again, it's cool. It for sure is cool. It reminds me a lot of the Grixis Improvised deck. It looks really good. You're testing it. It looks powerful. And then when you actually start to play top tier 1 decks, it's not. So maybe. I don't know. I think it's too slow.
Well, we'll have to see.
The card, though, that I think you should all be watching right now is Bone Picker. I feel that card is multiple format playable. I got one in my deck, played it. It was absurd.
Yep.
I mean, I turn 2 Bone Picker, and I just, like, smash for 9 before he could kill it. Like, what?
Yep.
Like, that card's crazy. Oh, and by the way, it traded up. So it dealt 9, and then it traded up because it has death touch.
Because it always trades up.
Why does it have death touch? Like, oh my god, this card's crazy.
Yep.
I already saw foils going $15, so.
Yeah, but non-foils are only like $1.50, so.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I'm this is going to be Delver. Delver wasn't like that expensive when it was. It was a dollar or two. But it's just like, you know, you got me hooked on shinies. So that's something I've been like looking at. And then like we've got another infinite combo with Vizier of Remedies. So that one's interesting. That's the one where if you put a -1 counter, if you put on a creature,
you don't.
You don't. So it's like it's basically Malira.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially. Well, that with Devoted Druid is a 2-card infinite combo to just kill with Walking Blister. You know. So.
What?
Devoted Druid says tap, add a green mana, put a -1/-1 counter on it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Ooh, nice.
And something about untapping. I don't know. There's like some sort of good combo there.
Yeah, that card went up.
With Simeon Spirit Guide, there's definitely a turn 2 kill.
Oh, yeah. Well, Simeon Spirit Guide, again, it just breaks everything.
Yeah, right?
Dodges. Simeon Spirit Ape is the card that dodges bans like
I know, right? You want to talk about a card that should be banned?
Like, literally, he's sitting there on a throne with a Mox Opal and a Mishra's Bauble around his neck like, yo, you ain't going to get me. Get out of my jungle.
Right?
He just doesn't care. Like, there's so many more important things we need to be worried about. Anyways, another thing that I totally forgot. If you check out Goldfish, they had a bunch of brews. If you're interested in brewing, check out their articles. I thought it was Kenji Numat, but it's not. It's the other Kenji Sumura.
Oh yeah,
Kenji Sumura. Kenji Wayfinder. He lots of very interesting decks for Standard, Modern, a lot of stuff with the Amonkhet cards. So check that out. But stay tuned. We're going to hit you back in just a tad after the intermission, and we're going to come back and be yelled
hype
at.
Hype pause,
and I'm not looking forward to the second part of this podcast.
You should be. It'll be good.
I know it'll be good. It's always good. Hype up,
I don't think so.
I'm
to unforeseen technicalities, the second part of this episode was unfortunately lost in the garage. We feel that someone, probably with a K in their name, might have spilt soap on their microphone. We're not 100% sure. But never fear, stay tuned next week, for we will have part two of Iconically Yours.